Flynn, Episode 12, A Christmas Carol.
Greyhound from Toronto, Winnipeg.
32-year-old Megan Carney, 8 months pregnant, and in the company of her 10-year-old son, David, was looking for a final chance to put her life back together. One of those Christmas miracles you read about at this time of year. Only this time, her expectations were about to be dashed.
Oh, thank the Lord we're here at last.
Oh, my back is killing me.
Dad's not gonna like it. Us just showing up like this.
Family together for Christmas? It'll be a lovely surprise, Davy, you'll see.
Yeah, Mom.
Get the big suitcase while I ask someone how we get to this Granville Island. Maybe it's close enough to walk.
Okay, but I still think you should phone first.
Hey! Watch where you're going! My purse! Stop! He's stealing my purse!
Oh, Mom, are you all right?
Oh, my Lord, the hotel money.
Let me help you.
Oh, Dad's letter.
I'll catch him.
No, Davy! Come back! It's too late. Can you believe this?
Mm-hmm.
Disgusting. And right before the holidays.
Well, what happened? The Grinch steal Christmas again?
Now, Flynn, it's probably not the
best time. No, he's right, Sam. What? Flynn may be insensitive and communicate in cartoon metaphors, but he's close to the mark.
Excuse me?
After all, Megan Carney did have her Christmas taken away.
Who the hell is Megan Carney?
Just the pregnant woman who had her purse stolen as she stepped off a bus yesterday.
Oh.
She traveled over 3,000 miles to be with her husband for Christmas.
Yeah.
And welcome to Vancouver. How can we let these kind of things happen?
Come on, Willie. This is a big city. It happens every day.
So that's an excuse to do nothing?
Well,
not for me, it isn't.
Where are you going?
To the hospital. Megan probably needs help.
Megan? You don't even know the woman.
I'll introduce myself.
Well, what about decorating the boat? What was all that about?
Christmas brings back memories. Lost your parents just a few days before Christmas, almost, 20 years ago.
Oh, car accident. Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, well, she hasn't. This time of year, she's just another disappointed kid trying to put the world back together.
Mrs. Carney?
Yes?
I'm W.P. Green. About this story in the morning paper.
My mom wants to be left alone.
Oh, you must be David. I'm just here to see what I can do, David.
Looking for another human interest angle. What are we, the Christmas flavor of the month?
No, you've got it wrong, Mrs. Carney. I'm not a journalist. I'm a lawyer.
Can't afford a lawyer. I can't even afford a place for my son and me to sleep once we get out of here.
Well, I checked with the hospital social worker, Miss Page. She's put in a request to Family Services for emergency aid.
Don't believe in charity. I still have a $50 bill pinned to my brassiere.
My dad will take care of things. Once he knows we're here.
Oh, he must be worried. Maybe I could contact him and bring him to the hospital.
No need. I'm checking out of here in a couple of hours. We can handle
it. Oh, that soon? But I heard you fell when the thief snatched your purse.
I did. But the baby's all right. Oh. They gave me an ultrasound.
Good.
Shouldn't you be going
home? Davy, mind your manners.
What right does she have to butt into our business?
Davy!
It's all right, Mrs. Carney. The last thing I want to do is intrude. I'll let you rest. Here's my card, if you want to reach me. I'm so sorry about what happened.
Yes. Well, thanks for caring. Sorry we got off on the wrong foot.
Yeah, that's all right. Contact me if you need help. Bye.
Bye.
Mom, I don't think she's a real lawyer. She could be one of them.
Don't go squirrely on me, Davy. You'll make matters worse jumping at shadows. Just settle down and let me do the thinking.
Whatever was going on between Willie and her new friends didn't concern me at the time. Sam and I were too busy to be diverted by anything as trivial as a purse snatching. The Carol Boat Festival was starting on the weekend. We had to get ready for several nights of parading our illuminated boats out of False Creek into English Bay and beyond. A special West Coast way of marking the Yuletide season.
Yeah? Give me more slack on the top string of lights, will you?
Oh, yeah, okay. Hey, is that better?
Yeah, that does it. All right, I'll tape the angel to the masthead later.
Okay.
Coming down.
Yeah, well, Are you going to spend Christmas with your mother this year?
No. I had the obligatory turkey dinner last week. I saw Mother off for Arizona with the rest of her snowbird pals.
And you're welcome to join Willie and me.
Oh, thanks. What can I bring?
Oh, not that.
Lower the volume, Eddie.
What?
It's too loud.
Too loud? Okay.
Oh. I thought you said Eddie Righteous was working for his uncle.
Yeah, that's right. He's going straight.
Really? Huh. Well, since when do they sell karaoke machines in a boat?
Come on, Sam. Give the guy a break. That's a loaner from one of Eddie's friends, who ran a bar.
Yeah. Sure, he did.
Okay, play Scrooge if you have to.
Right you are, Cratchit. All the way back to the office. Bah, humbug.
Not many people believed Eddie Righteous could go straight. Even I was a little uncertain, and I'd known him for close to 10 years. As a scam artist, ticket scalper, dealer. Not the kind of guy you hang out with. But in one respect, I admired the guy. He'd put aside the fast, shady life for a reason. To get back together with his ex-wife and 2 kids. The trouble was, he'd tried it before.
Wanted to make sure you had enough juice. Some of these little CD players the other boats are using, you can't hear worth spit.
Yeah, just promise me this isn't hot.
Oh, come on, Flynn. Would I do that to a friend? It's Christmas.
So there's nothing in it for you?
Fuck it. Not a zilch. How many times I gotta tell you?
Sorry, I can't get used to you not having an angle.
My only angle right now is to give my kids the best Christmas they ever had. No broken promises, no missing Santa Claus.
What are you planning?
Well, I was hoping to take everybody down to Disneyland. But since I've stopped dealing, I don't have the bread.
Well, I wish I could help you, but I'm a little short myself.
Hey, I didn't ask, did I?
No.
But there is something. It just came to me.
Oh, no kidding.
Well, you think the kids could come out with you, like on the Barney Boy, you know, the Parade of Carol boats?
Well, that's no big deal.
Oh, would be for them.
I don't know. Maybe. But on one condition.
Condition? What condition?
Can they sing?
Oh, like angels.
Okay, it's a deal.
Thanks, Flynn. Boy, I can't wait to tell them. They'll flip. Oh, well, I don't think my aunt's will be coming. She gets seasick.
Well, we'll take an extra bucket just in case.
As I walked back to Sam's place, perched up on the slope overlooking False Creek, I noticed a glimmer of Christmas tree lights from the living quarters upstairs. Willie and Sam must be having lunch. Maybe I could join them. I walked upstairs and opened the door. Right away, I knew it was a mistake. Willie was comforting a very upset woman while Sam poured some tea.
There you are, Flynn.
Sorry for barging in.
No, never mind. Come in.
This is the man who can help you, Megan. Flynn, this is Megan Carney, the woman I went to see this morning.
Oh, yes, the purse snatching. I'm sorry. But I don't know what I could do about that. Aren't the police investigating?
My 10-year-old son, Davy, he's missing. I was checking out of the hospital, and suddenly he was gone.
He ran away?
I think he's trying to find his father before they do.
Who do? With the police? Or...
Worse than that.
Now, let the woman tell her story, will you? Now, maybe you could start at the beginning.
Hmm? About 3 months ago, Frank was walking home from work when he saw these 3 guys robbing a bank.
Yeah.
There was some shooting. A guard was killed and the robbers got away.
And Frank was able to identify them.
Yeah, he picked them out of a mug book and 2 days later they were in jail.
Good.
But that wasn't the end of it. The police said he'd have to testify at the trial.
He had something against that?
Not at first. Just after the phone calls.
What phone calls?
Late at night. Threats. They said they were friends of the guys in jail.
Uh-huh.
So that's why you were so upset about the story being in the paper.
Well, didn't the police offer you protection?
No. And Frank said we shouldn't take a chance. We sold our stuff, split the money. Davy and I moved in with my mother. She has a house near Guelph.
Why did Frank come out to the coast?
He used to live out here.
Oh.
Worked as a carpenter.
So the plan was you'd stay with your mother until the baby was born and then follow later. Well, what went wrong?
The Toronto Crown Attorney issued a warrant for Frank's arrest.
Contempt of court, I'll bet. Failure to appear as a witness.
I guess so.
Anyway, I had to warn Frank there were two kinds of people after him.
We should be able to work things out, shouldn't we, Sam? I mean, it's not as if he's a criminal. He probably didn't get the subpoena.
No, he'd have to turn himself in and testify.
Where is he? You got an address?
Yeah, that's the trouble. Megan's only got one letter in the 3 months he's been out here, and it didn't have a return address.
Playing it close to the vest.
Things had been pretty rocky between Frank and me, you know, during the recession.
A lot of people lost their jobs.
Yeah, living hand-to-mouth is pretty scary. We used to argue a lot. So when all this came down on us, I figured chances were good I'd never see Frank again. You know, if I stayed at my mama's place, I had to find some way to keep my family together, even if it was just for Christmas.
You did what you had to do.
Maybe so, but now what? My son's gone. He's only 10, and he doesn't know the city. Anything could happen to him.
Did Davy know where his father was working?
Just Granville Island, not the actual address.
Well, I guess that's where you start, Flynn.
Right now?
Right now.
Right now.
Here's a family photo. That's Frank with Davy and me.
Where can I contact you?
She'll be staying at my place until things get straightened out.
Oh, okay.
We'll hail a cab. You might need the car.
There's one thing I don't understand about women. The way they communicate. They've got ESP or something. And they have a way of becoming close friends without having anything in common. Unless it's just being women.
Well, there they go.
Is she crazy? I mean, that woman's a perfect stranger. What is this, a no room at the inn thing?
Oh, well, maybe. But Willie's instincts are pretty good.
Well, what if this Megan Carney was feeding us a load of garbage? I mean, maybe Frank just took off.
Well, so instead of a good guy in trouble, Frank's a Christmas turkey, is that it?
Well, I don't know. But it's happened before.
Well, what about the kid, Davy? 10 years old. Do you think he's in on it?
Well, who knows? I just hope it's not another one of those family squabbles. I mean, they're the worst, especially during the holidays.
Yeah, well, just give it a try, will you? For Willie's sake.
Yeah. I parked Sam's car near the public market and spent the rest of the afternoon checking out every place that might have needed some carpenter work during the past few months. I drew a blank. You'd be surprised how many do-it-yourselfers there are around here. So I wound up at the old boat works where Eddie worked.
Hi, Eddie.
You got a minute?
Sure, what's happening?
You ever see these people around the island?
Family photo, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this kid was here looking for his old man.
Yeah, when?
I don't know, a couple hours ago, maybe.
Where did he go?
I was busy. I didn't pay much attention.
Something wrong, Flynn? Eddie in trouble again?
Come on, Uncle Steve. Ease up, will you?
Hey, come on. Learn to take a joke, nephew. You'll live longer. What's the picture?
I'm looking for a man and his son.
Huh. Well, that's easy. The guy's Frank Carney. He and two other carpenters put in some petitions for me.
When was that?
About a month ago.
Do you know where he lives?
The three of them shared a room in one of those rundown hotels near the bridge.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they're there now, though. They said they were moving on.
Where to?
Oh, no idea.
Was Frank a union member? I mean, they might have a forwarding address.
It was cash in the barrelhead. No paper trail, no GST.
I'm the one who's supposed to be getting rehabilitated.
They use the storage lockers?
Yeah, but I think they took everything when they finished.
Well, what's this, then? Bus schedule?
One of the other guys, I guess. I mean, Frank's locker is the empty one.
Hey, look here. Hey, someone circled the Vancouver to Squamish route.
Yeah. What are you so hot to find this guy? I mean, what did he do, steal a hammer or something?
Well, maybe his kid and I aren't the only ones looking for him.
What? Oh, boy. What was this guy's name again? Frank?
Carney. Frank Carney.
That's it. Now I remember. Frank Carney. This guy was asking around about him.
What guy?
Mean-looking dude. A real heavy. Iron gray hair, crew cut, wore a quality suede jacket, Docker slacks.
What did he want?
Said he was building chalets at a new out-of-town resort near Squamish.
Yeah?
He heard Frank and his buddies were pretty good at their trade. Wanted to talk to him.
Well, could he have been legit?
In my past life as a dealer, I got pretty good at reading people.
Yeah.
Body language, speech patterns. It's the way a rabbit stays ahead of the fox.
What's that got to do with anything?
I think this guy was mob muscle. Not from around here. Back east, maybe.
Come on, you're imagining things.
Have it your way.
Well, there's only one way to find out for sure.
Squamish?
Squamish.
Oh, boy.
It took only a few minutes to organize the expedition to Squamish. Uncle Steve gave Eddie the rest of the day off.
we needed him to identify the man with the crew cut, if he happened to show up. Sam agreed to stay at the office and contact the local police to mount a search for Davy. For her part, Megan Carney, the boy's mother, was certain Davy was hitchhiking up the Corkscrew Road to Squamish. So she and Willie insisted on joining the chase.
Is that him? Davy? Davy!
It's just an old man, Megan.
His coat was the same color. Why are you driving so fast? We could miss him.
It's a dangerous highway. Flynn has to keep up with the traffic flow. But we'll spot him if he's here.
It's getting dark.
And stay calm. It's going to be all right.
I've really screwed up this time, haven't I?
Now, hang on, Megan. Take deep breaths. Try to relax.
That's right. On top of everything else, raise the baby.
Watch for the turnoff, okay? There's supposed to be a sign.
How do you know?
Squamish Chamber of Commerce.
There it is. Where? Under construction. Timberloft Lodge, 8 private chalet.
Still think we should have backup, Flynn.
Look, can it, will you? We're all jumpy enough as it is. We expected to find at least a partial crew working on the site, but there was no one around. Just a couple of work lights casting ominous shadows up the cedar walls and splashing off the dormer windows of the French mansard roof.
Kind of spooky, isn't it? I'd feel better if we had an invitation.
Yeah, well, I couldn't get a number for the company's cell phone.
Stay in the car, Megan. You might fall over something.
Alone in this place? No way.
Now, the guy I talked to said there were trailers at the back of the property. Maybe there's a caretaker. Come on. I hated stumbling along in the shadows, especially with a pregnant woman in tow. But the footpath seemed to be heading back through stacks of lumber to some dark shapes. Maybe house trailers. But before I could find out, Eddie grabbed my sleeve.
Flynn, look! A flashlight! Someone's coming!
Oh, I was carrying something.
A shotgun! Let's get out of here!
Wait a minute. Wait. We'll get a better look when he goes by that work light.
Tobacco-colored jacket. It's him. He's the one who was looking for Frank.
This is private property, folks. State your business.
Oh, my God. It's killed my husband.
I thought we'd had it then and there. The man with the gun wasn't alone. There was no point trying to run. We'd never make it back to the car. Then there was another voice, sweeter than a heavenly choir.
Mom, I found Dad. He works for Mr. McCann. Don't you, Dad?
Is that you, Megan?
Yes.
Thank God. Well, we didn't know where to start looking. Davy couldn't remember the lawyer's name who visited you.
Davy, how did you ever get away up here? I told you not to hitchhike.
Mr. McCann brought me.
I was on Granville Island loading up some building materials for the project here when this young man asked me if I knew a carpenter by the name of Frank Carney.
Mr. McCann said he did. And when he found there was no way of reaching you, he brought Davy to me.
Oh, Frank, I hope you're not angry. We just couldn't stand the thought of your being alone.
Oh, Megan. Mr. McCann gave me a bonus so I could take the red-eye flight to Toronto tomorrow night.
So he could be with you at Christmas. It was supposed to be a surprise.
But what about the trouble you're in? Someone could have seen you.
Mr. McCann figured the best thing to do was turn myself in after the baby's born.
A good lawyer can get him off.
WP and her uncle are looking into that very thing.
Lawyers?
That's right. Flynn's our investigator.
Well, looks like we've got some talking to do. Everyone down to the trailer. It's our home away from home. Most of the crew is taking a few days off, but we'll try to welcome you properly this time.
Mr. McCann, why the shotgun?
Oh, just for show. People have been walking off with a lot of stuff lately.
No kidding.
Haven't we met somewhere before?
I don't think so.
The next few days were busy ones for the Carneys. Mr. McCann helped them rent a house in Squamish. Willie and Sam arranged for the outstanding warrant against Frank to be stayed. He provided an affidavit swearing he would testify if required, which wasn't very likely, considering one of the three bank robbers had turned Crown witness, and the other two suspects were plea bargaining. As it turned out, the threatening calls were made by one of the criminal's dim-witted brother, who wouldn't hurt a flea. Frank was never in danger in the first place. So, all the Carneys had to do now was wait for the blessed event. The rest of us got back to business as usual.
Oh, it's 6:30. Didn't you tell Eddie to get his kids down here by 6?
He'll be here.
Oh, we'll lose our position. You know what a stickler the Commodore is.
So we bring up the rear of the flotilla. Now, what's the harm?
Sure.
Hello? Hmm? Oh, hi, Frank. What? She had the baby?
Megan? A little early, isn't she?
What was that, Frank? Yes, I'll tell them. All the best.
What?
A 7-pound baby girl.
7 pounds?
They're calling her Noelle. Isn't that wonderful?
Hey. Oh, that's good news.
I know.
And on that day, a child was born.
Wonderful. Hey, look, here comes Eddie. Where are your kids?
At home with their mother,
what?
Jesus.
Oh, Eddie, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, nothing goes right, even when I'm trying to do good. Well, nothing for it but to pack it in early. Hey, thanks just to see.
Oh,
isn't that a shame? The kids would have loved the karaoke.
Oh, maybe they still can.
Oh, no. Too risky. Besides, they're contagious.
Well, not if they watch from Elaine's apartment.
What?
Well, she still lives in that red brick building overlooking Fitz Beach, doesn't she?
You mean we'll serenade her?
Well, look at you, Ebenezer. First a sourpuss, now full of the spirit of Christmas present.
Give Eddie your cell phone, will you?
Oh, here.
But you won't be in the parade of lights.
We'll make our own lights. Cast off, Sam.
Right you are, Captain.
Hello, Elaine. Kids still up? Good. Could you have them look out the front window in about 15 minutes?
Yeah.
It's a surprise. Yeah, tell them from Santa Claus.
Just heard A Christmas Carol, episode 12 of Flynn, written by Lyle and Barbara Brown. Featured in the cast were Boyd Norman as Flynn, Colleen Winton as Willie Green, and Robert Clothier as Sam. You also heard Suzanne Ristic as Megan, Gregory Smith as Davy, Kim Kondroshoff as Eddie, Don McKay as Steve, Ewan Sudsy Clark as McCann, and Dwight McPhee as Frank. The production assistants are Dagmar Katanka and Loretta Joyce. The recording engineer, Chris Cutras, with sound effects by Joe Silva and Daniel Imbo. Music for Flynn is composed by Alan Cranny. The series script consultant is James W. Nickel. Flynn is produced and directed in Vancouver Studio 3 by Don Kowalchuk. The series executive producer in Toronto is Bill Howell. For The Mystery Project, I'm Bob Boving. Thanking you for listening and, since we've got a little extra time, inviting you to check out a sample of next week's New Year's Eve edition of Flynn.
Sorry, it's a little difficult for me to get down here.
Oh,
yeah. To Kurt's workshop since the accident.
You're doing fine, Mrs. Lister.
I wanted to show you this West Coast Sailing magazine. On that page, the ad.
Oh, Blarney boy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's Flynn's boat. Leases it out now and then.
See how it's circled in red?
Yeah.
He did that with the others, too.
Others? I don't understand.
Well, Kurt's been harassing sailing boat owners ever since he was hit 2 months ago. He and Mrs. Lister lost their two girls.
Oh, yes, that's the story in the paper. I'm terribly sorry.
Kurt's been growing more and more depressed since the accident. Our two children. Well, it's hard to get over the idea you'll never see them again.
Yes, I can imagine. That was terrible.
They were approaching Active Pass in their small motor cruiser one night last October. Some boat came out in the dark and just hit them. The list of children were thrown overboard.
We were all up topside, but I never saw what hit us. Kurt claims it was a sloop. Whoever it was, they didn't stop.
Your girls drowned.
It was dark. Kurt's a good swimmer. He did all he could.
It must have been horrible.
I've come to accept what's happened. To me and... and even the girls, but... oh, it's eating at Kurt. He knows the accident was partly his fault.
Oh, how's that?
The riding lights on our boat, they were malfunctioning that night.
What?
We shouldn't have been out there.
So he's got to find the guy that hit him.
Yeah, but it can't be Flynn. He'd have said something. And he wouldn't have left you in that kind of trouble.
It doesn't matter. Kurt's got to find someone to blame, and when he does, I don't know what he'll do.
Well, you must have some idea, or you wouldn't have called Kaz.
Oh, God, I don't want to get him into trouble. But there was talk around the plant about missing explosives.